Well, as we all navigate through the pandemic together, obviously navigating through it has a lot of different aspects and facets, and different people are navigating it in very different ways. One of the significant impacts of the pandemic is the fact that it's heightening our anxiety levels. It's exacerbating depression for a lot of us. One of the ways to address that is to connect with other people. But of course, it being a pandemic, that's a very difficult thing to do as well. So how do we manage that in the midst of what we're facing right now in 2021? Local author Stephen Petro is a regular columnist with the New York Times, as well as an author of many, many books, including one coming out later this year. Just published a column in the New York Times earlier this month about how to connect with each other in a meaningful way during the pandemic, and he joins us now on the phone to talk about it. Stephen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Aaron, it's great to be back.
So I know it's been, what, 5-6 years since we've talked on the phone, so it really is good to hear you back on the air with us.
Actually, back in the day, I came into the studio.
I remember that, yeah.
Like with two feet apart. So.
No one can do that now, unfortunately. So what inspired the column? I know it was a very personal column for you as well.
Well, I'll tell you, there were really two things. So I write about health and science, and there's been a lot to write about in terms of the pandemic in regards to that. And I'd certainly been doing my research and seeing the various studies that reported the real surge in mental health diagnoses since last March. And there was a big study that came out in August that showed a 30% increase in depression, anxiety, and other types of challenges. And then there was one at the end of the year. And so I was tracking that. And then, in a sense, very separately, like many of us, I was dealing with my own version of what was happening. And I've, for a long time, been susceptible to depression and suffered from it. And I kind of realized as I was doing this research and moving into the fall that, you know, the bottom had, in a certain way, had dropped out for me. And I was kind of back in a dark place. And you know, I basically took the advice of what my sources were telling me, which were find ways to connect with people. But I realized, Aaron, you know, if you're going to connect with someone and say, hey, I have a problem, hey, I'm struggling, you actually have to acknowledge, hey, I have a problem. So what I started to do on Facebook, on my Facebook page, was to do a Friday check-in with people and say, you know, how are you all doing? And then at some point I was saying, here's how I'm doing. And, you know, I was pretty straight up and straightforward about that, as were really hundreds of people over time. And I think that we began to see, first of all, that we're not alone, two, that we're sharing, you know, many of these same challenges, and that even though we can't look each other in the eye, even though we can't give each other a hug, there are virtual ways that we're finding that this connection on social media does support us, does really kind of connect us. And so That was really the impetus for the column, and the column sort of talks about through both threads, the scientific as well as my personal voyage of the last several months.
And a part of the purpose of the column, and one of, I think, the most important points is there are ways to check in with each other and to connect with each other that are meaningful, and it's important to kind of get beyond just that initial kind of routine asking when you see someone or when you're connecting with each other and saying just how are you, because then you get into the vicious cycle of how are you, I'm fine, how are you, I'm fine, and it's kind of a meaningless conversation. But it's so important to get underneath that, and important to acknowledge just straight off that we're not doing fine, that we as individuals are in so many ways not okay, not fine, struggling with a lot of things. Because as soon as we acknowledge that with ourselves, then it opens up the door and makes it so much easier for other people to acknowledge it themselves.
You did a very good read of my column, Aaron. Thank you. And, you know, one of the learnings I had was, and this came actually several years ago, I often would answer the question, how are you, with, I'm fine. And I was seeing a counselor at that time, and he said, you know, fine is not really an emotion. It's a way to kind of mask, you know, how you're feeling, or you're being kind of lazy and not wanting to be forthcoming. And he said, you know, it'd be much more helpful to you and probably to others, you know, to say, I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm happy. You don't have to go into great depth. And yeah, I do want to say, usually when we ask people how they are, it's really not even a question. It's more of a greeting. So
yes.
you kind of want to calibrate your answer. I certainly don't think, you want to give minutes and minutes, if not more, of your current mental or physical health status, which also happens, and that's all separate thing. And I actually address that in my book, which we'll hopefully talk about later this year. So I think though, the more open we can be, the more open others will be with us. And that's where that kind of connection can happen.
Yeah. I found myself in the last few months kind of changing my standard question and changing my standard answer to that. We were talking before that I've been kind of making a conscious effort to, instead of saying, how are you, say something a little bit more specific, like, how are you holding up? Just acknowledging the fact that not everyone is fine, that most people are not, and we can't just assume that of everyone these days. And then on the flip side, like you said, not responding to that opening question with a long litany of thoughts and feelings, but to get a little bit more specific and say, look, it's a weird new routine that everyone is having to deal with, and I'm exactly the same way.
Exactly. And a question that I like to sort of use instead of how are you is, what's new with you?
Yeah.
And that kind of can open up a number of different doors, from work stuff to home life, potentially to illness, and just kind of pushes the door open a little bit more so that someone can walk through, which is what I think I'm trying to do in this interview and trying to do it with that column, to make it okay, and to make it okay to say, I'm not fine, I'm not okay, I'm like many of my other friends. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it was interesting. I'm here in Hillsborough, and I see a lot of people on my walks these days. But it was really only after I wrote that column that some of my neighbors started to talk a little bit more about how they were feeling, as did I. So it was a push to myself, and then it seems to have pushed some other folks. So that's been good. And today, as we're taping this, is Friday, so I will be doing a check-in on Facebook for people, and it kind of tracks up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And see sort of where the vaccine frustration is today also, which seems to be impacting a lot of people's general well-being right now.
Speaking with Stephen Petro, so that was actually going to be my next question. How have those weekly check-ins affected your thoughts and feelings, and how have they affected the people who've been responding to them?
Well, especially during the fall and through the holidays, it was gratifying to me as a writer to see how my words can help people. And on Facebook, they were saying, I have insomnia. I'm depressed. I'm not eating. And then invariably, others would say, me too, me too, me too. And mm-hmm. so immediately there were those kinds of connections happening. Last week, I did ask specifically, when did people expect to get vaccinated? And a small number, said, well, I've had my two shots, and I'm done, and that's good. But many, were really voicing the challenges of signing up, of the eligibility requirements, teachers and so on. And, and again, there, I think a common connection was being forged, which doesn't get you into the clinic to get the shot, but I think helps us all to understand we're in this together. And one of the things I've been extracting from this pandemic is how, if there's a positive lesson that comes out of this, it's about the focus on the we and not the me. And, by the we, family, friends, community, our state. We've been really in a sort of me direction for several years now. And I hope this kind of collectiveness will take root and come out of this, that our well-being is dependent on the well-being of those we care about and those we love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've already seen the reaction to the column on the New York Times. Rule number one of the internet is never look at the comments underneath the column. But I made the mistake. I dove into it and I said, I wonder what the reaction is. And I clicked on the comment thread and it was fantastic. There were so many people who were sharing their own thoughts and stories and opening up in really meaningful ways and then connecting with each other across the comment thread. So it really does make a huge difference. So again, as we're wrapping up this conversation, What's the advice for people who want to build this into their own connections and conversations? How can folks begin?
I would say don't be afraid of opening up, because when you open that door, you're likely to be met by someone who wants to walk in and meet you halfway, and that all of us will find a real boost from that. So that's my big takeaway from this, and that we need each other.
You can check out the column now on the New York Times page, nytimes.com. Much more from Stephen coming up later this year, as again, we're going to have a book coming out later on this year, and we'll talk about that in the coming days and weeks and months. But Stephen Petrou, thank you so much, as always, for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron Keck. My pleasure.